We are about to continue day two, the second session at the FSPMA conference. This session is how to build a rockstar family. Let's join Dave Thompson as he starts this morning session.
But a little bit about, you know, how I started my career. We were talking earlier about the fact that you never know when you're going to have an impact on somebody. And I don't want to ignore you guys over there, but most of everybody's over here. So when you think about this, the way I started my career was I was a junior in high school. Of course, that was a long time ago when junior high and we were all in the same building. Of course, I was in a consolidated school in northeastern Colorado. The best I can remember, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that area. I do remember very distinctly, the superintendent came to me with this big roll of keys and said, "We understand that you know where all these keys go and how to use them." Still today, I don't know why I knew that. How did I know that? Why was what? Somewhere along the line, the custodian and I made a connection. Don't know how, don't know why, but we did. Anyway, the first thing I did was this. And he says, "Well, I'll get you out of study hall." I said, "Try again." He said, "I'll get you a passing grade in Spanish." I grabbed the keys and I can't speak Spanish. So Bobby keeps telling me, "Hey, Dave, you know, you keep talking about you need to move ahead." So he keeps telling me that I need to learn how to speak Spanish. I don't know. I'm 61. I'm kind of set in my ways. I don't know if Spanish is in my future or not. But thankfully, we have an instructor, Angel Cruz, that runs our Kissimmee location. Some of you may know him. And so when it comes to Spanish classes, Angel and I work very close together on what the need is and translating things over. Don't hold any hope for me in Spanish. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, how did that happen? We don't know. But we do know that because of that history and getting that start, here's where I am today. I am nobody special. That's what I'm trying to say. I went to 1 year of college. I got out of that with a D minus. I'm not a college graduate. Basically, I flunked 1 year of college, if you want to really put it seriously. I was not in the top 5% of my graduating class as a senior. What we went through this morning is who I am. And as I said, this is not a me show, but all I can do is tell you this is how I got to where I am. Anybody can do it. That's what I'm trying to say. If you take the right steps, if you have the right motivation, if you listen and take ownership and you're determined and you have the integrity. This is what we talked about this morning, right? Now, as you're supervising people, you've got to bump it up. Who's watching you? Everybody's watching you. So, this is building a rock star family. Now, if you didn't catch yesterday's how to build a rock star family, then you wouldn't understand most of this. But Mike Ward, in his book, talks about the differences between teamwork and family work. And basically, just so you kind of get an idea before we go into this, what he's talking about is look at your team members as if they were members of your family. Not literally, but figuratively. Would you actually ask Grandpa to get up the ladder on his own and change the light bulb? No. More than likely, you'd say, "Grandpa, hold the ladder and I'll get up there and change the light bulb." That's the mentality of family work, as you see, building a rock star family, versus a team. What a team does is a team is simply there to get things done better and faster. Right? Teams are about efficiency, not feeling, not camaraderie. Now, I won't say, and then somebody said that, and I'm like, yeah, well, I've been on a number of teams. And I can guarantee you, there's as much fighting in some teams as there is anything else. Of course, somebody also said, you don't know my family. I'll go along with that one, too. You know, you can go to the extremes in all of this. But what I'm saying here is, when you look at this segment, this is kind of a blend of what Mike talks about and some other people, but I want to let Mike talk to you just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mike Ward. Today we're presenting information with the Academy of Coaching Excellence and Dave Thompson. What you're about to learn is from my book, Who Swings Your Pop? Have you thought about are they a good worker? Are you helping them grow? Are you working to their strengths? Make sure you're asking these questions and listen to what Dave has to tell you while you're supervising those rockstar custodians.
So, there's going to be a number of things we're going to talk about, and as a supervisor, your job is to observe and report, not to mandate and dictate. Unfortunately, many people in a supervisory role do not know the difference between the two. Now, what Mike Ward talks about in his book is he calls this power with and power over, is the way he terms it in his book. Now, I've kind of changed it a little bit. I took a little liberty here. But if you understand what he's saying, he says power with would be observe and report. Power over is what some people want to say mandate and dictate, correct? Many supervisors think they have the power over their staff to make them do what they want to. Quite honestly, they're mistaken. Because your staff will teach you that you do not have any power. If that's what you believe, you've lost the battle already. So, what this means is, if you notice something that's not being done correctly, you must document it and report it to your supervisor. That is your job as a custodial supervisor. Now remember, we're talking about who are we supervising? Who are we supervising? We spent an hour and a half this morning. The rock stars, right? So if you're thinking about only supervising those people that are motivating everybody else, this gets a little easier. Now that doesn't mean you don't have to watch everybody else, but remember, 80% of our time needs to be spent on the cream of our crop. Everybody else is going to follow that. Does that help you a little bit? Okay. So, I need to document what's being done, but what's being done correctly. Unfortunately, what most supervisors do is what?
Document the bad.
Anybody ever use an inspection system?
Yes.
What do you inspect? For what? You inspect their work for
deficiencies.
Wrong. First mistake that's bad. You inspect their work for something being done correctly. You heard it a long time ago. You can get more flies with... Am I the only one who knows this?
Yeah. The only one is owl.
You can get more flies with honey than with vinegar. We talked about feelings this morning, right? Your rock star people are not vinegar. They're honey. They're attracting people to them. You recognize them because of what they do for. I will tell you, if you want to supervise your rock star people, you find what they're doing correctly and key on that. So when you do your inspections, inspect what people are doing correctly. Document that and report it to your supervisor. That's what you need to key on. Because when you find that, and everybody knows that's what you're looking for, you're going to find more truth in what is going on. The deficiencies will always show. Does the local bar or restaurant give you a card for not coming to their building? You know what I'm talking about? It's a rewards card because you come there and you're loyal to them. They don't give you a card for avoiding them. Does this make sense? I'm from the Midwest. We're kind of plain folk. You know, to me, this is just as plain as nose on my face. It is very important to lead for a lead custodian to have outstanding documenting skills. Your job is to document what's happening. You cannot lead people unless you document what good things are being done. I know that's maybe contradictory to what you may have been told before. But let me ask you a question. Is what you're doing now working? If it was, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be looking for more information. You already got it. You don't need any help. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's the rest of the chairs are empty? No. Could be. Maybe they're missing out on something. Do not threaten that you are going to write somebody up. This is that power over thing, right? This is that person that thinks they can mandate what's going to happen. You know what? I've heard this more than one time. If you do that one more time, I'm going to write you up. And the person's going, then why didn't you do it already? Because what you're doing here is you're sending a message to the rest of your staff that you think you have the power over them and they are not going to cooperate with you. Isn't going to happen. Your goal is to work with your supervisor, because we all have one, right? Somebody above me, to help deal with issues that come up. Because as we find the good stuff, what did I say? The deficiencies, the bad stuff will come up. That's what I got to deal with. I got to have some help. I am not the know-it-all. Although many people say he started smiling over there. The light's not that dim back there. So what you need to do is there's going to be 7 questions that we're going to go through in this segment. This is where you are gathering information that you can talk with your supervisor and work together to manage these rock stars in a more progressive, future, positive, proactive way. Okay? 7 questions. Has the person been a good worker in the past? Now, be very critical when you're doing this. If you go for a job interview, do you give a reference? Do you believe what that person said when they called up for a reference? Don't. I want to tell you that right up front. Don't believe what the reference tells. I'm just going to tell, I'm just shooting straight with you. 80% of the time, they are not going to tell you the truth. Why? Because they don't want anything to do with it. It's a real life. So whenever you're asking this, you need to be asking, this is what? This is to those new people that we get, right? Because they haven't worked with you. Or you're going to move them to another position. Do we ever do that? We ever move them to another position, to another area, some other task? So before we do that, these are these seven questions that you need to go through before you make these changes, before you bring that person in. If you're the supervisor and you've got a rock star custodian that's leaving and you got to replace that person, this is critical. Because you just lost, I told you earlier, right? I lost four of them before I figured out what the heck was going on. So, is this person going to be the person that I can trust? Because if they've been doing their duties in the past at that level, then there is a good likelihood they'll do it. If I'm trying to replace a rock star, I'm not looking for somebody that just can ride an auto scrubber, right? They've got to be able to do what? Time management. They've got to be able to communicate. They've got to be able to do other, not just at this level, at the rock star level. Why? I'm trying to build a rock star family. I don't want just somebody on the bus. I want a driver on the bus, right? I'm not just trying to fill seats. Now you're sitting here thinking, I got a guy right now that he's 15 people short on his crew of 60. He was 20 people short 2 months ago. Apparently, he's going through this very slowly. Why? Because he doesn't want just somebody on the bus. Because I can guarantee you, just putting somebody on that seat that hasn't had a good track record, oh well, you know, they, you know, we can work with them. It's going to cost you more, and you're going to lose more. So, what's going on here? What's the look on this gentleman's face?
Concern.
Come on.
Disgusted?
Yeah. What? Yeah, contemplating. Something isn't right. As a rock star supervisor, if I'm trying to put the rock stars on my family, if this were a family member, what would you do? You'd communicate. The first word of custodian, right? Because there's something that's probably not right. Ask yourself what's happened. Is there something that has happened that they've mentioned that you missed? Did you notice I said that you missed? Because your rock star custodians are talking. They are communicating. And if this is that person and you see this, it's not their fault that you missed it. It's your fault as a supervisor. Remember what your job is. What was the first two things on your job? Do I need to go back already?
Observe and.
You see what I'm saying? If I don't know what's going on here with this rock star custodian that's 80% of my job, okay, you guys can kind of talk too.
We're not doing our job.
I'm not doing my job. 80% of my job is to observe. I shouldn't have to ask this person what's going on. I should have been able to find out that and see that. Sometimes, how can I find out that information?
Ask
the rest of the family. You see what I'm saying? If your brother has a problem and you've got three brothers, do you think that one of the other three brothers might know something? You see what I'm saying? I don't have to ask him. Apparently, he doesn't want to tell me. But somebody in the family knows what the heck is going on. If I'm doing my job right as a supervisor, I've observed there's an issue and I've asked a question and I'm going to pay attention to these behaviors and attitude changes. This is my job. My job is not to make sure that the bathroom got cleaned. Now that's probably contradictory to what most people tell you. If I take care of my job and take care of my people, my bathroom will get cleaned. Does that make sense? It's time to wake up. If we keep having the same problems, it's me as a supervisor that's creating the problem. Because my job is to observe. That was number one. Where do you think we're going to go with the rest of these? How good have you been doing job number one? Do we got some room to grow here? Do you feel like I'm preaching? Keep on. Number two, is the employee experiencing personal problems? That kind of goes along with the number one there at the end of it, right? If an employee is experiencing personal problems, make sure that the source of information only comes from the employee. Now, you're probably sitting here going, wait a minute, Dave, you just said ask the rest of the family. I said, do that, right? But that's just to get a tone of what's happening, to find out if there's an issue that I should be asking about. But folks, what I'm saying is, be quiet and don't listen to all of the rumor mill. The rumor mill is what is getting you in trouble. You're not listening to the right person. You have to ask a question and shut up. How hard is that silence? Silence is deafening. But when that person has a problem, you have to give them time to know that you are concerned. As a good supervisor, you have observed. They have to feel that they can honestly communicate. There's one of these things, I've said this for years, lips moving, people hearing. As a supervisor, when you're big jobs is to communicate with these, not this. Because you want to hear from this employee what the situation is. And you do not remedy the issue at that point. You do not give an answer. What was your job? And report. Your job is not to dictate and mandate. You're not going to tell the employee, you're not going to give advice. You're not going to tell them how to deal with that situation. You're going to go to, and I'm just, pardon me, you're going to go to your supervisor, say, this is what we saw, this is what I observed, this is what we talked about, how are we going to deal with it? Right? Because they're going through a tough time with their spouse. You are not a marriage counselor. there's an employee assistance program somewhere, somehow, in today's environment that will help them. Now, these lessons are hard to learn, but I got through teaching a master class, as I said earlier, 3.5 days, very intense. And at the end of the class, everybody had left, but one young lady, 22 years old, came up to me and started crying. I really wasn't prepared to handle that. And I don't mean just a little bit of weeping. I mean tears flowing down her face, hugging me. And I'm like, oh. You'll notice I'm backing up a little bit. The problem was she felt a communication, right? She felt that she could let it all hang out, literally. This lady was dealing with a marital issue that through her tears she started telling me about. And as a supervisor supervising somebody, because that was where my position was at this point, was to say, I need to hear. She needed somebody to talk to. She didn't need somebody to tell her what to do. I listened for a half an hour. Hardly said anything. I'm not going to impart to you what she said. That was in private. I can just say that I felt that there were probably legal things that needed to be taken care of. My job at that point, folks, was to listen, observe, and go to my management and say, how should I deal with this? As a team, we got together. We gave her several options of things that she should do. I always wonder what happened.
Do you know if her boss knew?
No, I do not know.
That's why when we have our monthly meetings, that's one of the things I use to emphasize about building relationships. Because, you know, you might have somebody that's just in trouble all the time. The guy goes home every night, his wife beats him. So, you know, you got to know that kind of stuff. If you don't know that, you're just saying, well, just a jerk.
I'm going to do something here because we're podcasting this. So Everett's going to get a mic together so that whenever you have something like to say, that whenever we podcast this, people can hear it. So if you don't mind. Now everybody will say, I'm not going to say anything. Because this is the reality of what we're dealing with. You know, my point to that was this was very real. And quite honestly, I wasn't prepared to handle it. You know, it just, for some reason, that one was the one that I didn't, wasn't. But when you do your job, this is what our job is dealing with people. You don't know when that person's going to come up and need that assistance. Now, I'm just using this because this is what Mike had in his book as a spouse. He has several other things that he mentions in his book of situations that over his 30 years with his HR background, because he recognizes, he's tuned to that. What I'm saying is, if we're supervising these rock star people, we need to be in tune with that, because these people can help us with the rest of our staff. And how we handle these situations, other people will see. Now, in my particular case in that, it wasn't that way, because I'm not in a position like you where I see the same people repeatedly over and over and over again. People come through my classes and usually I don't see them again. At least for my master class. Now, my regular classes, I see them fairly routinely, you know, because we're all here local. This person came from out of state. That doesn't mean that my responsibility as a good instructor or as a good supervisor wasn't to help them through that issue. But here again, communication with your ears, not with this. She did not need somebody to tell her what to do. She needed to work through the fact that she needed to let this out and get it off her chest. Many times, when we give people the opportunity, they will actually work through the issue that they have in hand if we simply let them verbalize that issue. And by the way, you're no different. Because it's going to come on your doorstep sometime, somehow, some way, in some issue. And you're going to be the one on the other side wishing somebody else would simply
listen.
That's number two. Should we move on? So I guess I'll just do for you because nobody else said yes. Number three, are there any recent changes with my staff? Now that one's a pretty open one, right? What are the changes? This one could be way open. Well, Mike first says, what about a new team member that comes on? Everybody like that new team member? Maybe, maybe not. So what do you think the rest of your team members are looking at when you bring somebody new in?
How you treat them? How you treat the new person?
How you treat them, but what are they first, man? I mean, even before that person gets there, what's in their mind? What's going on? Are they going to work? Are they going to fit in? They're thinking positive or negative?
That's negative.
Negative. Why are you letting them think that? If you are observing your team, you should know that's what's going to happen before you bring that person in. Why are you letting that happen? Why are you letting them have a negative feeling that you're going to drop somebody in here that doesn't fit, doesn't work, isn't going to pull their weight, is going to create more job for me? Because I can tell you, my experience tells me, and I don't think people have changed all that much in the last 40 years, that's the way 80% of your people are going to think. And then that person's got a what? Proof. You know, it's kind of like that innocent until proven guilty. Hell no, excuse me. You're guilty till you're proven innocent. You have a culture that's in your team. If you are not observing that and you're not aware of it, you're going to allow the team to mandate that that person doesn't fit before they ever get there. Now where's your battle? You've just maximized your battle, and you let it happen. Because you need to keep people informed ahead of time, and it will be likely better for everyone. Because there's no road sign that says, if you had a road sign, if you're diabetic, you understand what I'm saying here. There's no road sign that says cancer ahead. You're going to get cancer in the next 3 months. There's no road sign that says, hey, you're going to get diabetic. You're going to have to take shots. My question is if you're supervising your rock star team, you should be putting out ahead of time who this person is, what their qualifications are, how they're going to help the team before they ever get there. Does that make sense? Anybody doing that? Okay, I see a couple hands. Ask your supervisor to intervene and support you. That's what your supervisor is there for. Your supervisor is not there to make you do something. They're there to support you when you come up with the solution. Let's go together. Let's get this done together. You're not there to discipline issues. That's your supervisor's position. That's not yours. You're not the disciplinarian. Say that three times. Does this make sense? My job is to observe and report, and then get my supervisor to help with the situation. Because sometimes we do have to intercede, and we have to be a little forceful. We have to make the situation happen. But that's the level above me. In the lady's situation, I delivered the information of who she should see and who she should talk to and what the team said. We said this, not me, not Dave. As a team, we suggested that she do this. And then we asked her, would you like to meet with a few of us so that we can help and assist you with this? You see what I'm saying? When you need to go to that next level, it's a team of now supervisory people above you. You're not the one. You're kind of in between. Your job is in between. That's number three, right? Let's go to number four. Are they the right fit for the job? Well, this kind of goes back to what we were saying a little bit ago, right? Is this the right person on the right seat on the bus? Do you have your seats numbered 1 through 20 or 1 through 10 or however many people are on your bus? Have you ever looked to see if every person that was on your bus was in the right seat? Now, you notice that we got a puzzle piece here. Have you seen the kind of theme going here that we've kind of had? I keep talking people on the bus. But just because the puzzle pieces all have these ends like this don't mean they all fit together. And if those puzzle pieces don't fit together, we don't have the right picture. Team's not cohesive. So, sometimes people simply are not good at some things. I agree with that. Yeah, Mike, I agree with that one. Yeah, that one's perfectly spot on. Always try to use people's strengths while helping them obtain new skills. So if I am a good supervisor, let me go back to this one. Do I know if they're good or bad, if they pass or fail? Do I have documentation that they actually met my expectations or the company's expectations? Have I got expectations to begin with? How am I going to know whether they passed or failed if I don't have a checklist? What's one of your jobs? Document, 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 document. How many fingers I got on one hand? Because at some point, if you said they're no good for the job, you better have something to back it up. Because if I go here and I say, oh, well, you know what, we need to move you to this job, you're going to be better at this job. Well, what are you talking about? I clean bathrooms well, I clean them at home, I've been doing it for 20 years, what are you talking about?
Well, you're better at this.
Well, we're going to move you to the bus over on the other side of the aisle, one seat over. Your piece doesn't quite fit with everybody else. But you know what? Now they got to learn a new skill. And what now have you got? Do they want to learn that new skill? No. Huh? I got relationships with that teacher and that counselor and, you know, all of a sudden you upset the apple cart and that ain't going to work. And then you go through a new team member and there, a new person in the crew. And then you got, you see what I'm saying? You just keep compounding things. Document, document, document. Because you've got to help them obtain that new skill. So before you go and tell them, now what you've got to do is you got to spend all night vacuuming carpets because, well, why? You better have some good reasons. You're trying to build a rock star family. You're not trying to just put people in there to vacuum or to mop the floor or to clean or to clean the carpet. I saw this the other earlier this year. They had me go over and train some people on how to clean carpet. They were investing in truck mount systems and all of this and everything and all these. I'm like, have they ever cleaned carpet before? Nope. Okay, so you're going to trust them with a truck, all this equipment, millions of square feet of carpet, and you're going to give me 8 hours? Somebody hadn't went through these 7 questions. Now, I'm not saying that we can't make it happen. Okay. And then I found out that the supervisor supervised them and never actually cleaned a building ever. No, nobody here has that issue, right? Don't tell me if you have it. I want to hear it. Find something that they're good at and build them up for it. I believe that everybody has something good that they do. Everybody is doing something right. When was the last time that you praised every single one of your staff members for what they're doing right? Do you get kind of a message here, what I'm trying to say? I kind of said this more than once. I hope you're getting this by now. Not what they're doing wrong, what they're doing right. Do you have a wall of praise? Do you reward people for how many times they're on the wall of praise? I know this, you know, we were talking about this earlier, right? If you saw the one yesterday, it's kind of in between these. You know, there was these, you know, when a new student comes in, or at the first of the year, they have these plaques. It's all about me, and it tells who the people are, and all their likes and dislikes, and who they are, and all that stuff. Well, let's carry it a little further. Let's make sure that we're praising people, and we're showing how much we're praising people. Back to the honey and the vinegar. People like to be rewarded for what they're doing. Do you? Everybody does. My job is to observe and report. I will tell you this, if you will do more of this, you're going to be able to observe a different behavior pattern. That's going to help who? You. Whenever they work better together or for the common good, who's that helping? So, that's number 4. Let's go to number 5. Okay. So I kind of put this one together myself because Mike hadn't put the slides together for me. But, you know, to me, this is where I'm starting to get all of these pieces of the puzzle. They're not quite fitting yet, right? I haven't made the whole picture, but I'm kind of starting by now to get those pieces of the puzzle together. But you know what? If I don't train the people right, properly, and not everybody's on the same page with the training, that puzzle can just blow apart. All of that work I've done, all of a sudden, just vanishes. So what I'm saying here is, before I moved to training, look at all of the things I had to do before. Do you know how many times I have people that come in and they say, you know, we're going to start a janitorial service. And they bought all of their equipment. They've got their van, they got their cards, and then they come in, well, how do I do that? I think we have something a little wrong here. So if you think about supervising these rock stars, make sure that you do everything that you can to train, coach, and mentor. Three very big words. Because, you know, I hear a lot of people, oh, we've trained them. Really? And you've done everything right. Yep. They went through 25 hours of training, and they followed Joe around, and they know everything they've done. And what's the other two parts here? Coaching and mentoring. Which one do you think is the most important here? All three.
Is there one that's most?
There is not one that's more important. That you're correct. I've got to have all three. It's a balance.
They go hand in hand.
Absolutely. If I'm going to put those pieces of the puzzle, all these things I've done up to number five here, I got to make sure I'm doing everything right. I got to include all of it, because if I don't, this is what happens. Now, are those pieces coming to the rest of the puzzle, or are they breaking apart? I don't know which one, but I got to have the details. I've got to know what is going on, because if I've been doing my job, what is it? What is my job? And that's the details. Remember I said analyze was one of the things in custodian? All right? I've got to analyze. I've got to have these dates. I've got to have the details. You've got to write these down. Because at some point, if you haven't made this in your report, you're going to forget, well, when did Sam take that? When did Joe do that? Did Joe and Sam do that together? You got to have the right instructor. And I'm not always it. Okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. As good as I know I am, I've got to have the right subjects. Because why? I've got to get the right person on the right seat on the right bus. Now you got another one. Did you know you could have the right person in the right seat, driving the bus, but I got the wrong bus going down the wrong route? Put that whole floor crew together, come to find out, that's not what we needed to do. There were the wrong people driving the wrong thing, doing the whole wrong thing. Now we got to back up and start all over. I've heard that more than once. So before I get all of these pieces and I start trying to make them fit into the rest of the puzzle that's already there, have I done all of these things and document these? And I don't mean, do you realize what's happening today and yesterday? Everything I'm saying and doing, Everett is documenting. Why? Why would you think? Pardon?
To review.
That's the first thing. I am doing exactly what I am telling you. Because Everett is also going to help me. We're going to podcast this, but I guarantee you, we will listen to every word that is spoken, every position, and we will put together a podcast that is professional and follows and is right. But what are we going to find out along the way? A couple mistakes. What else are we going to find out?
Any information that we missed.
Information that we missed? What works and what didn't. You know what? We may have had a really good plan coming in, and then we kind of find out, whoops, Well, that plan didn't work. I'm doing exactly what I'm telling you to do. I'm just doing it a little different way. Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Am I on target here? Because now I got all of these pieces of that puzzle. If I didn't have documentation, how am I going to talk to my supervisor? Then the pieces of the puzzle are going to go, really? Are you sure? And you're going to stutter and stammer and walk around on your own feet and you're going to try to figure out what the heck happened? No. I can tell you, before I came here, my boss was 100 miles away. I saw him one time a month. Didn't talk to me. They left me alone to do my thing. He didn't care if I was in the field or not. Why? Because I documented everything I was doing. My boss now knows that about 4:30 a.m., if he hasn't got an email from me, something's wrong. He knows when I'm working. Why? There's an email that usually comes out sometime because I'm reviewing something and I send it to him. But I'm not the first one. There's another guy that gets up before I do. Your supervisor will really have a hard time disciplining for poor performance if you're not documenting. Now, that goes to what you've talked about before, right? Because you've been inspecting for deficiencies. Okay, so I'll go there with you. You know, Mike has that in the book. Because we know we're going to do that. But if you're not documenting the good stuff, isn't there supposed to be the scale when you're evaluating whether somebody's good for that job or they're the right person for that job? There's got to be a scale, so we've got to have both sides of it. Are they better suited for a different role? Kind of goes to that, are they the right person for the job? But now, this isn't a task, right? Do you have lead custodians that lead the rest of the team members? So you're a supervisor, they're a lead custodian, and then you have the frontline custodians. Everybody has a different way of putting it. But if you think of it that way, maybe that person that's your rock star may or may not need to have a different role. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe they also need to have a different job too. Some people are just not cut out to be a custodian. If they can't handle what they're doing, maybe they need to have a different position in a different bus. They're on the wrong bus. They're on the wrong route. We need to move them to someplace else. Doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Doesn't mean that they have bad qualities, right? This is where you can refer that person to another area of the district and say, they have good skills, they meet all these things. You have the documentation to support all of that. Maybe you have somebody in your bus, on your route, that may be a better fit for mine. You ever done anything like that? Switch people? It's a lot easier to do it within your own house rather than go from outside in. Because I guarantee you, in your own house, you're going to get a better feedback, a more honest feedback. If you go outside, what did I say about the resume? 80% of the time, it's not accurate. Okay? So, this is a little small. After you have provided the proper training, you must work off of the job descriptions and make a case for the employee. So what am I trying to say? Unfortunately, so many places I go do not have a job description that they're working off of. So whenever they evaluate whether that person's fit for that job or that role, it's all by what? back to reporting and documenting. I cannot tell you how many people, how many places I go, that the role for what that person is has not been looked at for 5 years and things have changed. Well, we don't clean with a toilet bowl brush anymore. We outlawed those. We do it with a bowl mop. Well, everybody knows that. The document doesn't show it. Because you use a bowl mop differently than you use a toilet bowl brush, right? Well, everybody knows that. Not everybody does. So, what is your process so that this person doesn't have to be this way? Before you change them to a different role, maybe I should be looking at... I feel like I'm talking to myself this afternoon. Am I lecturing again? Do you agree? Do we agree or disagree? Yes?
Yes.
I've got to make sure that the required duties are documented, outlined, reported, detailed, because if I want to say that that person isn't able to perform those, it can't be by what I think. Can't be by what Sam did. The problem I have with OJT, by the way, if you ever want to see a little skit that I do, called On the Job Training, go to my YouTube channel. You'll find it on the back of that multicolored sheet. It's all of our social media. Go to our YouTube channel. I've got a little recording of OJT. The problem I have with OJT is all it does is the last person trains in the shortcuts. And all you wind up doing is managing shortcuts. And quite often, we think that the person isn't able to perform that when all that was happening is all that they were shown was the shortcuts. They were never shown the full list of everything to do. And so that's why you get this problem. So, before we move on to the next one, that's quite a list, right? And if you take all of what we talked about this morning, earlier, I mean, this is a long list, but you know what? Supervising a rock star, as I said earlier, is not the easy task. Not to do it efficiently, not to do it effectively. Because the last thing is the first thing we started talking about this morning, right? Here we are back to the thing we started the morning with.
Communicate.
I got to communicate. And this is, am I communicating with them? Now you already heard what I said, so you've already got a little bit of this. What do I communicate with?
The supervisor.
I communicate with what?
Mouth.
Oh, listening.
I communicate with my ears. So now you know where the rest of this is going, right? Ask them if they forgot something or need to improve something. How would they like for it to be addressed with them? You are not there to mandate and dictate what you're doing. If I am communicating, I am asking them a question, and then what am I doing?
Listen.
Shutting up. Sorry. Back to my Midwestern ways a little bit, right? Sorry. But this is the thing. I cannot find out how I should address them with their issue, whatever it may be, if I don't listen. Because we make that one crucial error. What is it called? An assumption. And an assumption means you're not listening. Right? So if you listen, they're probably going to tell you which way they want you to communicate with them. Some people, it's different than for others. However you do it, you have to document it. What did we talk about? Six different things before we come to number seven. I still have to continue because now when I take all of this, I bring it together because all of this I did was basically reporting, finding out, getting the information, getting the details. What was it? A in custodian? What was A? What was A? You didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? You hadn't been around me very long.
Analyze.
I need to know what's going on. I've got to have analyzers. I've got to have my data. But you know what? When I communicate, I have to document. We're showing a phone. You're pulling your phones up. I will tell you that every time that you take a picture on your phone, what is it doing? It timestamps, dates it, and typically now even location stamps it. Great reporting device. Text messaging has become extremely popular. Do you ever go back and look at your text messages with your Rockstar custodians and find the pattern and analyze what's going on? No. I don't have time for that. I challenge you that you do have time for that. That's 80% of your job, right? 80% of your job is to analyze and know what's going on and communicate with that Rockstar custodian for the rest of my staff to get them to do what? Because I want a clone. There are different ways to communicate a performance issue. Yes, Mike knows that along the way we're going to have a performance issue. So, what's the ways? Leave a note in their mailbox, a written note. You say, oh man, it takes time. I can guarantee you. On the other side of this, because you know me, right? I'm the positive guy. A person just left my master class last week. Tomorrow, the handwritten note thanking them for being in my master class will be in their mailbox in St. Pete. You see what I'm saying? I'm documenting what happened. I'm reminding them of what happened, written. The other way is in an email, written, documentation. The thing about email today is a lot of people say email's dead. I don't believe that. My inbox is full every day. If it were dead, I wouldn't have that many. On the other hand, make sure that whenever you write these, what is it? You know, I look at some other things in construction. They say, measure twice, cut once. Before you send that email, read it aloud. Not here. Okay, hear what I'm saying? Read it aloud. I didn't say it to somebody else. Okay? Because when you read it aloud, you're going to hear different things than when you... You know, if you read it to yourself mentally, you're not going to hear the same things if you read it aloud. Before you send it, why? This is documentation of your communication with your employee. Make sure it's what you want it to be and sends the right message. Verbally, this is the one that usually gets most of us in trouble. Because this overruns this, because this didn't work. You understand what I'm saying? The mouth overruns the brain because the ears didn't listen. And this is the one I don't like the most whenever I'm in, as he said here, a discipline issue. That's why I like a supervisor. Do it for me. And the last one is demonstrate to them. When it comes to an issue, don't rely on somebody else to do what you should be doing. Well, you know what? Sam's going to show you how we want it done. I've got to go and take care of. No, you don't. Sam's got a job to do. Your job is to take care of that. You're the supervisor. When you move up to supervising that rock star and you're trying to put together a family that's all rock stars, you have the time to physically do that with that person or that group of people, as it may be.
It could be a form of delegation, though.
When you're at this point, when we've come to this and you're in a discipline, as he started with that, if you're in a discipline, there's no delegation. You're the supervisor. You don't delegate that to somebody else, especially somebody else in the team. Now, it may be a cooperative thing with somebody in supervisory above you, but never below. And it's back to the responsibility issue. You know, you're the supervisor. Now, you might get a lead to work with you so that they understand what is being done. But they're not in a position there to be doing that as authority. They're there to understand what's being done. Now, many times I will actually use that. I've done that many times. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to show Joe this is what should be done, but Sam, you're the lead at that building, and I want you both to understand this is what we should be doing. That's where you got to go back to that document that we've got. These are the procedures. These are how they're supposed to be done. You're trying to build a family of rock stars, not just people on the bus. Any questions before we close this?
I just want to say, now, it almost like you contradicting what you're saying. At first, when he said something about delegation, you say not at this point. But then, in the beginning when we was talking, you were saying something about reporting to the supervisor. A lot of us deal with those issues.
Right. Whenever I've got to discipline somebody, I need to be involved when it actually happens. It's not my supervisor's responsibility to take and do that. I should be involved. But on the other hand, I'm not going to leave that situation to my supervisor either. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll want to get several people involved in that so that we're all on the same page and we're all seeing that. Sometimes it needs to be private and held by itself.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clear.
Correct. Okay. Any others?
Are you going to podcast all this?
As much as we possibly can. We're going to have to find out how we're going to do it, but yes. That's why Everett's been back there moving back and forth. We'll have a little bit of the video on it, but mainly it's going to be the podcasting.
Thank you for letting us present this information. And if you thought this was useful, this is just the beginning. There's all kinds of great information that we're going to present to you in other presentations from my book, Who Swings Your Mom?
We've seen it.
I think we did. I thought he had a different one on that one. So, the last one for the day, I don't remember how we termed it. How did we term it? How to be a rock star leader. Let me just give you something here. Have you ever heard of Miss Whiner? Mr. Justifier? Mr. Longevity? We'll talk about those personality traits that's in your team in the next session. So take a break. When you come back, we'll start.